we've been speaking about self-care for about 2 weeks now, Alec.
Yeah, okay. We're trying to get the message across to people that looking after your health and wellness should be viewed as health care, and exercise is not something that you squeeze into your leisure time, but something that you really need to take seriously along with your nutrition and your spiritual well-being. So we sort of focus on those three areas. There are many others as well, but if those are your core focus, you are bound to make significant progress.
Alec, let's talk about self-sabotage, because we don't realize what exactly is self-sabotage. Sometimes we just think it's just normal behavior. And at the end of the day, it is causing self-sabotage and then affecting our self-care as well at the same time.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we're very critical of ourselves. And, you know, especially the ladies, it's very difficult to be content with who you are, and to know that God loves you regardless of whether you've put your makeup on or not, you know, that goes further, there's this distinction between, you know, what's the right word I'm looking for? You mentioned it a little earlier when we were talking about your going from looking after yourself to actually putting the emphasis on from a Christian point of view, I'm tongue-tied here today. You're trying to to belittle yourself so that you don't, it doesn't, you know, you, instead of looking after yourself so that you can look after, love, serve, and care others, you're
neglecting yourself.
Yeah, you neglect yourself, but you think that you are, that is,
it's out of vanity, perhaps.
Yes, vanity.
I think that's where we kind of think in the Christian sense, that if you are doing self-care, you're looking after yourself, you're focusing on yourself to get stronger, look better, you are becoming more vain and self-centered instead of seeing it as strengthening yourself in order to do the purpose that it is that God has in store for you. So, for example, I often use the Joyce Meyer example, where in her 60s, the Lord told her she needs to start training every single day because he's got more in store for her in her ministry. And that her strengthening in her physique meant that she was able to be fit when it comes to traveling and standing on the stage for many hours and things like that, and moving from thinking that because you are spending this time on focusing on yourself, be it for an hour a day or twice a day, for, you know, 2 hours, whatever it may be, that you are now becoming vain.
Yes.
And not focusing on the ministry.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm getting at. And the point that I was trying to make there is that the distinction is that your purpose needs to be to glorify and serve the Lord. And to do that, you need a healthy, strong body. And that houses your spirit. So they're all interconnected, and we've spoken about needing to have them all being in alignment and pulling in the same direction. So you've got this tug of war that we've spoken about between your carnal nature, and there we're inclined to try and take the easy way out and to look for comfort. But growth, as we've said, is on the other side of being uncomfortable. So we need to seek out challenges. We need to seek out and experiment with things that take us out of our comfort zones. And on the self-sabotage, one of the things is having the opinion that you know enough. Whereas we need to have this growth mindset, and we need to be experimenting and growing until the day we die. And this journey of self-discovery and building your character instead of your popularity, and trying to focus on what's important, relationships, instead of your vocation, and trying to make as much money as possible. So if we bring that back to health and wellness, people are very inclined to take the shortcuts, and they are wanting to they use, for example, steroids to try and get the biggest, best physique.
If only they knew how bad that is for them. It's not spoken about enough, potentially, because they're getting these instant results right now, but in the long term, it's detrimental to their health.
Yeah, we won't go into all those details today, but I couldn't agree with you more. So, and on the ladies' side, you know, they nip and tuck and inject and Botox and all sorts of things to try and improve how they look outwardly. But if you understand who you are in Christ, and you understand that that is irrelevant, and what other people actually think of you is way less and of no importance in comparison to being in right standing with the Lord. So the only free gift and the only easy solution is giving your life to the Lord. You don't need to do anything there to actually, it's through grace that we are saved. That for the rest, you have to work at it. You have to work at your health and your nutrition and your exercise, and trying to be the best you can possibly be, not for the sake of it, but for the sake of being able to better love and serve and care for others.
You put it so nicely, Alec, and that is, you can do all these shortcuts, but I'm thinking you could be the most beautiful woman in the world, the strongest guy in the world, but ineffective in the kingdom. And it's all about kingdom work at the end of the day, isn't it? It's about being fit enough to go on this journey. Paul talks about it, the fact that we are running this race, and we need to be able to run this race and be strong right until the end as well. It's not just about running your race for X amount of time and then you get to your 80s and you say, okay, I've done enough. We've got to be serving the kingdom till the very last breath, basically. And that is why it is so important that we do take self-care into a different mindset, to know that it's not about being vain, it's about doing the work of the Lord.
Yeah, so let me just pick up, you use Joyce Meyer as an example. I had recently my mother came to visit. She's 80 years old. For as long as I can remember, she's had neck, back and shoulder pain and issues, and she always turns to me to massage out the knots and relieve the pain. This last time she was here, at 80 years old, I introduced her to Indian clubs and taught her how to swing Indian clubs. Sunday, I spoke to her on the phone, and for the first time in her life, really, she's now in a much, much better place, and that those rotational movements, and it's not, we're not talking about heavy weights, it's about improving your mobility and getting that getting your joints and muscles and everything to work the way they were intended to. And now it's relieved and done all of that, and that, I mean, that we should have done that years ago. It would have made such a big difference to the quality of life for her. So there are so many things that we could and should be doing that don't take a lot of time and effort, and you will reap the benefits of it. So we've spoken before about sort of just thinking, I mean, we all know if something is good for us and good for others, or if it is detrimental to ourselves and detrimental to others. So if something is detrimental to you or to others, don't do it. And if you know, for example, that you've got an addiction or a bad habit, then you know what you need to do to fix it. And only you can do it. So, you know, the self-sabotage things are like things like procrastination. You don't have clear goals that you're working towards. You've got addictions. You avoid commitment. So you can't trust yourself. You don't follow through on your intentions. That's because you don't have a strong drive and a purpose and a goal that you're trying to achieve, which will help you to actually stick with being more physically active and nutrition. So, yeah.
Alec, we speak about this, having this goal, a reason for getting stronger, getting fitter. First of all, before I even continue on that, you've said in the past that you can start getting fitter and stronger at any age, and your mother is just a living proof of that, which is great. And you remind us that you first train to get stronger, to get your mobility better, and that is also, once again, what your mom is doing. But having a goal in front of you is definitely a motivating factor when it comes to getting stronger, which will lead to getting fitter. Because if you enter a race, for example, be it a 21K race, chances of you just getting to that start line and not preparing anything other than getting your shoes cleaned for the event is highly unlikely. There's a journey that takes place where you get stronger to do the 5Ks, to do the 10Ks, and eventually maybe you've only done up to 10Ks, but you can get to that start line for the 21-kilometer race with confidence.
Yes, and I think the point that you're making there is that, you know, if your goal is a 21K and you are a total couch potato, that's a big stretch. So you need to have interim goals in order to help you achieve your ultimate goal. So you first start with a 5K, then a 10, and so on, and you build up towards it. But at least you've got something that you're working towards. But the problem with a goal like that is that after you've achieved that goal, then what?
It's a marathon, of course.
Yeah. So, you know, yes, you can continue down that road, but if your purpose is to be to change from just wanting to achieve a specific event or to lose a specific amount of weight, you must change your mindset to say, I want to be a runner. I want to be healthy. I want to live the rest of my life at a weight, not just a goal to get to it, but then sustaining it and being able to stay the course. And that goes in our spiritual walks too. How many people actually finish the race strong? How many people, even in ministry, lose the plot before they actually kick the bucket? So you want to the Lord to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. You want to finish the race strong. So yeah, we've all started, we're all somewhere on this journey, and the point that we're trying to make here is that it's very easy for you to actually make improvements. You're not competing against other people, you're competing against who you were yesterday, and there's always room for growth and improvement.
I really like that you're not competing against others. You're just competing about being a better you. Alec, great to have you in again. Looking forward to continuing on this discussion. I think we need to talk more about that self-sabotage topic. I think we don't realize sometimes what is self-sabotage. We're just going on with our everyday lives, not realizing. I mean, procrastination, for example, key. Do we even realize that it is a self-sabotage measure towards our self-care? And we can talk on a few more of that in the weeks to come. And I think it's also well worth looking at the shortcuts, looking at steroids and what it does to people, looking at Botox and that kind of thing and what it does. I think we just see the instant results. We don't need to work for it. But sometimes I think if you're going to go under the knife for some work to be done, I think it's going to be better just to go out and get exercising and get going rather than that kind of way of doing that.
Yeah, well, I would encourage anybody that is even remotely contemplating either cosmetic surgeries or steroid use and abuse, it doesn't start off as abuse, but it grows and it becomes worse and worse. Just go onto YouTube and just do a few searches and look at the horror stories that are documented and that are out there of what happens and how things can go wrong and how detrimental it is. There isn't a shortcut, and your physique should be a byproduct of your lifestyle. It's not a goal in and of itself. So if you are leading a healthy lifestyle, your physique will show it. And if you're in a bad place, only you can get yourself out of that. It's a lot easier, as we've said, than people think. Just get started. Starting is the hard part. And make it as easy for yourself to start as possible, and then just stick with it. And then over time, you can make improvements, and you'll reap the rewards.